Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, welcome to church. Welcome to the building. Is it the building or the church, JJ? Make up your mind. It's the building. We are on the topic of ecclesiology, the church. We're busy unpacking what it means to be the church. And last week, we defined what the church is. But what is the first image that comes to mind when we say the church? A building, a steeple, a cathedral, pews, walls, a cross. Cross with Jesus hanging on. These are the kind of things that come to mind when we talk about church. You also most probably said to somebody this morning that you go into church. Well, that's not theologically correct. Because last week we defined that you are the church. So actually, this morning you were going to the gathering of the church. That's theologically correct. You are going to the gathering of the church. You see, the church is not a building. The church is you. And this week, I want to pick up from where we left off last week, where the last point, if you weren't around, please go and listen to that message. The podcasts are up. Shelanne does a phenomenal job, her and Todd, to make sure the podcast is up, sometimes by even Sunday afternoon. But go and listen to that podcast because we lay a foundation of who the church is. Yes. And the last verse or the last scripture that we hit was Matthew 16:18, where Jesus says, I will build my church, you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As we know, to build something, we need materials, correct? We need materials. In the natural, in the good old days, the materials that we use constantly were bricks. Nowadays, they use plasters. They use slabs. This warehouse have slabs. They don't have bricks. We use wood. We use plasterboard. We use all kinds. We even use, nowadays, we use polystyrene for foundations of houses. I saw this the other day. I'm like, really? In our street, these massive blocks of polystyrene. I mean, a house built on polystyrene? Seriously? But it's what happens. Interestingly enough, though, bricks go all the way back. Even in Africa, deep, dark Africa, right in the most rural of Africa, the Africans make bricks from anthill mud. Anthill mud. You want to know why anthill mud? Well, anthill mud is finely grained in the anthill, and it's cohesive. It's actually water resistant. So the Africans make these bricks from, they go and dig out the anthills, they make these bricks from there, and they build their houses. Even some Africans, they use sticks to build their houses, and then they plaster it. They put a layer of this mud on there. Because it's water resistant and, of course, wind resistant. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about bricks today. Bricks. Everybody say bricks. 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 Let's bring the focus in. Bricks. Last week, we determined that Jesus builds his church through us. We are co-builders. We are living and obedient disciples. And therefore, we build together with him. But as you read through the Bible, you see that some themes just keep being carried through, and we get to Peter, and Peter starts talking about, not bricks, but he starts talking about stones. He talks about stones. He doesn't describe physical stones used in building. He paints a picture of stones that are alive and powerful. So I today want to unpack this concept of the church being a living, breathing organism. a living, breathing organism. And the scripture that we're going to turn to, if you've got your Bibles, grab your Bibles out, get your pens out. And the scripture is 1 Peter 2 verses 4 to 9. 1 Peter 2 verses 4 to 9. It's going to be on the back screen. And I'm going to be reading it from the NIV Bible this morning. It says as follows, as you come to him, the living stone, take note that that S is a capital S, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God. So the living stone was chosen by God and precious to him. Remember the word chosen, because we're going to talk about chosen. I'm going to highlight the word chosen a little later. Remember the word precious, because I'm going to highlight that a little later as well, in the same passage that we're reading. All right, so humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You, verse 5, also, you, that's you, that's you. That's not, this is, he's talking to you. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion in a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Peter quotes from Isaiah 8:14 and Psalm 118:22, passages that Israel's prophets have used to describe the Messiah. This is part of it, all right? So verse 7, now to you who believe this stone, is a word again, is precious, but to those. Now to you who believe this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. A cornerstone, just for clarification, is the first and most important stone that is laid when you're building. The cornerstone, when you're building a project. And everything else aligns with it. Okay, so this is why it's a cornerstone. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message. There it is clear why they stumble, which is also what they were destined for. But you are chosen people. Here we go. You are a chosen people. Didn't he say that he chose Jesus? You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, God's special possession. That's you. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's a mouthful there. But there's a couple of things I want to unpack. The first I want to unpack is this, the concept of the church as living stones. The church as living stones. 1 Peter 2, 4, as you come to him, the living stone, capital S. And then 1 Peter 2, 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Peter calls Jesus the living stone because he's blending two powerful biblical ideas here. The one being the stone prophecy, which I touched on, the Old Testament referring to the Messiah who is pictured as a stone, who's pictured as a cornerstone, who's pictured as a capstone on which God's people are built, okay? The stone is symbolizing strength. The stone is symbolizing stability. The stone is symbolizing permanence. These are qualities of the Messiah's unshakable role in God's plan. Now, the living part, living stones, the living part. Unlike a dead rock, Jesus is alive. Amen? He rose from the dead. He's eternally active in building his church. Living also implies life-giving. He didn't just rise from the dead, but he himself is alive and he imparts life to those who come to him. So 1 Peter 2, 5, Peter refers to believers as you also. Jesus is the living stone, but you also like living stones. Being called living stones, Peter, what is Peter saying? He's saying what is true for the cornerstone, capital C, what is true for the cornerstone is also true of the stones built on it, or is you, those who are in alignment with the cornerstone. Are you getting this? All right. So just as Jesus is alive by resurrection power, so you and I are also spiritually alive by Holy Spirit power. You see? Living stones. You're not dead? Can you just check if that person next to you is alive? All right. Tickle them, poke them, just don't hit them. All right. Wake them up if they're asleep. But you and I are alive. Jesus was raised, is alive by the resurrection power. You and I are alive, spiritually alive by Holy Spirit power. But then it goes further in the scripture. Peter introduces us as you are also like spiritual stones are being built into a spiritual house. Key words, being built. Being built means it's work in progress. Shoo. Yeah, Tim, you're a work in progress. So am I. So is Paulina. Every single one of us are a work in process. It means that we are a work in process. It is a spiritual house being built. It's a work in progress being built by material which is made up of people who are alive in Christ. That's why it's spiritual. Made alive in Christ. Made alive in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. The realization is this. We are now the meeting place. We are the meeting place between heaven and earth. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm hearing here. You see, your value is not in isolation. It's not good to be isolated. Your value, God designed, ordained, is in unity with other living stones around you. That is the design. That's where your value is, not in isolation. And I'll talk a little bit into this point later on. The second point that I want to point out here out of the scriptures, 1 Peter 2:5, that you are the priesthood of believers. It says to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. This is a radical idea. The church, in other words, you and me, we are a holy priesthood. Last week I said that you were a professor and a doctor because, you know, you were revealing God's wisdom to the angelic. Now I'm coming to you today and say, you're a priest. Father Josh, Father Tim, Sister Vera, Sister... Hello, you are a priest. In those days, this was deeply countercultural. Why? Because in the Old Testament, priests were a select group of the tribe of Levi. Only they could mediate between God and man. Only they could offer sacrifices. By the way, I've finished Exodus. I've finished Exodus from November last year to now. I'm now reading Leviticus. That is an eyeful. All these sacrifices, cutting up entrails, washing them, sprays, splashing blood everywhere. I'm glad I am not an Old Testament priest. Seriously. Ugh, gross. And so they were mediated between God and man. They offered sacrifices, and only they could enter the Holy of Holies. I mean, you got to understand the pressure, people. As a priest, you could not have any little blemish in your life. You could not have any little secret sin in your life going into the Holy of Holies. How they made sure that they could get you out is they would put bells on your robe and they would tie a big rope around your ankle. And as long as they could hear you going tinkle, 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 they knew you were alive. As soon as those tinkle, tinkle stopped, they knew you had gone. So they would pull you out with that rope out of the Holy Holies because nobody else could go in there except for the priest. That's how serious it was. Not a little bit of a small sin. But only they could enter the Holy of Holies. So listen to this. They were the only ones that could mediate between God and man. They were the only ones, the priests, that could offer sacrifice. They were the only ones that could enter the Holy of the Holies. But here comes Peter. I mean, you know what? I'm starting to think Peter was a bit ridiculous. And he was a bit of a rebellion. Because he flips everything. He flips the whole script upside down. He says, every living stone is a priest. Look at the person next to you and go, you're a priest. Look at your spouse and say, yeah, I still got to believe that one. Yes? You are a priest. What does it mean to be a priest today? Let me spell it out for you. Priests mediate God's presence. How do you do that? You are called to bring God's presence into everyday life, not just on a Sunday morning when you've got a worship team up the front. You are to bring the kingdom of God here. Jesus taught us all to pray, your kingdom come. And it goes on, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That is right. In other words, every day, everywhere, as sons and daughters, you are to bring his kingdom into this kingdom. In other words, you are to be the salt and the light. You have to shine your light even brighter, bringing heaven to earth, God's presence to earth. Second thing, priests offer spiritual sacrifices. Not animals, spiritual sacrifices. Underline the word spiritual sacrifices. What is that? Worship. Worship. Not on a Sunday. Yes, a Sunday, but not just a Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 24/7, 365. Worship. Prayers. Prayers are a spiritual sacrifice. We have got prayer power happening. You know what? A praying church is a growing church. We are trusting God for miracles, signs, and wonders. We are trusting God to infuse this place. We are trusting God to go higher and higher from glory to glory. Where does it start? Not with a kumbaya on a Sunday. It starts on your knees in prayer, a spiritual sacrifice. Another thing that we do is acts of service. Another thing that we do is obedience. All these things are spiritual sacrifices. Why are they spiritual sacrifices? Because they are holy and they are pleasing and they are acceptable to God. Not because of who you are, but because of what Jesus has done in you and through you. So the third thing is priests mediate, priests offer spiritual sacrifices, and then priests are set apart. Priests are holy. A priest requires separation. Not from people. Not segregation. Not isolation. Separation from what? From sin. From worldly conformity. You know, at the YA Encounter Night, we had YA Encounter Night Friday night. My gosh, we had over 50 young adults, by the way. Somebody said to me, I don't understand what a YA is. A YA is a young adult. We had over 50 young adults, anything between the age of 30 and 18, up in room one. We had our team leading worship. It was heavenly. It was just this side of heaven. It was, there's no words to describe it. We ended up, I shared a small word, which I'm going to talk about, but then we ended up prophesying and praying for those young adults. We had young adults on the floor snotting. We had piles of snotty tissues afterwards we had to clean up, which is okay. It's good when young adults are repenting and they are being connected with God. Amen? Amen. But in my message, what I said to them, I encouraged them, I called them, all the young adults, to consecrate themselves. What is consecrate? Set apart for God. And I reminded them of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul planted a church in the most perverse city in history. Its name was Corinth. Why was it perverse? Because sin wasn't hidden. Sin was actually celebrated. Sin was actually woven into everyday life. Does that sound familiar with what's going on in our world right now? But Paul, this was my point. Paul didn't tell the Corinthians to leave the city. Paul didn't tell the believers to leave the city. He told them to live differently in that city. He told them and he encouraged them to be consecrated, to be holy, a witness to the world. That is what you and I have to be. We as priests have to be set apart and holy because you and I are vessels of God's glory. We are actually the conduit for bringing heaven to earth. Holy Spirit is in me. Where I go, he goes. If I'm going to the toilet, he's with me. If I'm going to Westfield, he's with me. If I am sitting in a pub, he is with me. Wherever I go, he is with me. If I'm in the parents' room or in a prayer room, if I'm in a worship team, if I'm with young adults, he's with me. If I'm in the kids' team, he's with me. If I'm doing groceries and walking down the aisle, guess what? He is with me. He doesn't wait outside of Aldi until I walk out. You and I are conduits. Therefore, we have to be set aside because we are a holy priesthood. We are consecrated to God's service and purpose. So to be a priest today, priests mediate God's presence, priests offer spiritual sacrifices, and priests are set apart. There's three things that I think we need to work on. Yeah? Or is it just me? Just you, JJ. Okay. I am working on this. But you know what? You know what? It even gets better. You are a holy priest, but there's more. There's more. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. Uh-oh. You're a royal priesthood. You know what royal priesthood talks about? Royal priesthood talks about identity and authority. You are sons and daughters who are filled with the Spirit of God. You are filled with the dunamis. You have power, and Jesus has given you authority. That's who you are. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special position. I mean, this is layer on layer on layer. I was saying to Josh and them, I said, you could take every single one of those things and preach a whole year on it. A whole year. These are profound truths. Two I want to highlight. Chosen people. God selected you before you chose him. Did you maybe hear that message last week? You see how it intermingles? We weren't in Peter last week. We were in another part of the Bible last week. But it's the same story. It's like God knows that we don't listen. So he repeats himself. Over and over and over again. It's like a father saying, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, tidy your room, pick up your clothes. Pick up. He's saying the same thing here. You are my chosen people. God selected you before you chose him. You are part of his blueprint plan before the beginning of time. Your identity is rooted in his initiative. He initiated your identity. That's a good point, JJ. Thanks, Annie. That's a great point. You're a chosen people, but then royalty. Whew. I like this one. Fits with me. Fits with my wife. She dresses like royalty every day. Royal priesthood. You are not just a holy priest. You are both royal and a priest. Royal look at him. God sees him as royalty. Look at her. You know that guy that's sitting in front of you that's maybe bald? He's royalty. Young adults, you are royalty. Forget about Catherine and Wills. You are royalty. Forget about Charles and Camilla. This is another level of royalty. Royal means you belong to the king. Not a king. Not King Charles, Queen Camilla. The king, and his name is Jesus. You are royal. This speaks of authority. It speaks of identity, and it speaks of inheritance. Because, you know, when this life is over, praise Jesus, we're going somewhere. We are going somewhere. When this life is over, We have an inheritance of eternity with God Almighty. Eternity. That side of heaven, there is no sickness, there is no negativeness, there's no gossiping, there is no sadness. That side, there is joy and glory. Streets of gold. It's not what I'm saying, it's what's in the Bible. That's the inheritance we are. You and I are part of God's royal family. This is how good God is. This is how good our Father is. This is the amazing God that we serve. The amazing God that we belong to. We are royalty. Royalty means as God's royal family, you are entrusted to rule and reign with Christ. Rule and reign. The royal family in British, they've got the different countries that they've got a finger in. You know what? We've got a finger in every country. Even those little islands that nobody knows about. Because we're part of His blueprint plan. You and I are part of royalty. Revelation talks about how you are called to rule and reign. Genesis talks about how you were designed to rule and reign. It's quite amazing that from the beginning of this, the book of the Bible, to the end of the book of the Bible, God talks about how you are to rule and reign. And in between every page, He tells you how you go about it. How you go about it. But please note this. Together, royal priesthood means you carry the authority of the king and the service of a priest. It's together. It's not by coincidence that it's together. It's for, again, a reiteration that you carry the authority of the king and the service of the priest. It is not separable. Royalty and priesthood are inseparable. You, the church, you, sons and daughters of the Most High God, are called to govern. You are called to steward. You are called to serve with the authority Jesus has given you and by the power you have received through the Holy Spirit, by the dunamis power that you have received from the Holy Spirit. Is that not amazing? Is that not actually crazy, brainwave-blowing, mind-blowing? I'm like, in God, help us to just grasp this. We don't want to understand it. We don't want head knowledge. It's got to go from here to here so that we can live it. When we know about it, we know about it. But when we know about it, when it lives, guess what? We start walking accordingly. When you know, I mean, I've said many years that I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God because I'm reading it. I've been preached it. But when I realized, when I believed it here, I started walking differently. I started preaching differently. I started talking differently. I was a better husband. I was a better father. I was a better pastor. I was a better person, full stop, because I knew my identity. My job here in Yuma East is not to give you more head knowledge. Please know. You can get onto YouTube and get head knowledge. My job as pastor here, right here, me and Paulina, you know what we want? We want this not to be in here. We want this to be in here. We want the promises of God to be in here. We want you to not only know it, but to live it. That's my job. That's my calling. That's my calling each and every single day. That's what I pray. That's what I pray. For you every single day, that this family of ours will not just be hearers of the word, but they will be doers of the word. Doers of the word. This brings me to the reason why you are who you are and the reason why you have what you have. And it's the very next verse in verse 9. Everybody say you. May declare the praises of Him. In other words, we are here to reflect Christ in the world. We spoke about light. This is it. We are to reflect Christ. You see how it's all interwoven? Reflect Christ in the world. You may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. The ultimate purpose of being a living stone and a royal priest is mission. And what is that mission? To reflect Christ. To declare the praises. That's the mission. To declare the praises. Bricks of a building are organic. They're not identical. I'm talking about physical bricks. They're not identical. But you know what? They serve the same purpose. What is that? To build a building, build a home, build a house, build a unit, build whatever it is. They are there to build a building. As in the natural, so in the supernatural. So what am I meaning by that? It's many times what we see in the natural, we can take and we can pull it over to the supernatural. All right, so here's a perfect example. Bricks of a building, the physical bricks, are there to build a house. Listen to this. The church, too, is organic. The church being you. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about you. The church, you are organic. You're alive and functional. You're not dead like a normal brick because every part of you has a purpose. Together, that purpose is to form his spiritual house. It says this in Scripture. To form his spiritual house. You see, our priesthood cannot be private. Our priesthood is public. We are called to declare God's purposes. We are called. That word declare means to publish abroad. That word means to tell out. That word means to make widely known. It's not private whispering. It's not a secret agent thing. I follow Jesus, but I can't tell you too much about him. If you want to know, you've got to go and speak to JJ. No, you're the priest. You should be telling them. This whole thing, declaring means that you are intentionally proclaiming his goodness, intentionally telling of his goodness. So we have two testimonies that came to me this morning. There was a young lady that we got wind of that, or not wind of, we got messages that she had taken tablets and she was found basically gone. The ambulances came, resuscitated her. She was dead for quite a while, resuscitated her, rushed her to hospital. Everybody, all medical staff are saying, yep, don't get your hopes up high. Guess what? There was a crowd that was praying. Our intercessors were praying. You know what? She's not dead anymore. You know what? MRI showed she has no brain damage. Now, if there weren't a bunch of people praying, if it was a quiet whisper, but somebody knew their authority, so they got the whole team praying. And through the whole team praying, she's revived. She survived, and she's revived. Now the heart is, Lord, touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that she cannot deny that you've touched her. We cannot deny the fact that God has touched her because she's alive. They declare that she was dead. Our lives become a press release of heaven's government. Our lives. It's a kingdom announcement. Yeah, he. You know, royalty do these things. You know, the traditions. We should be doing that. Yeah, he. Make way for the king. Yeah, he. Jesus is coming back. Do you know him? Let me tell you about him. That's how we should be. We should be walking around with billboards. Ooh, I feel the fire of God. The church is alive. Amen? It's not a building. He has a great picture of this is what the church looks like. Next slide. It's coming. Next one. There you go. The church is alive. This is a picture of you. A heart, meaning you're alive. The glow around the heart means that you are spiritual. The crown on your head, you are royal. The Bible in your hand, you're a priest. You're a body. You're a living stone. You're a temple. Royalty and priest. Every believer, even if you don't believe that, that's how God sees you. That was a revelation for me. That is how God sees you. That's how you and I should see one another. And guess what? That there walks into Westfield. That there walks into Macca's. That there walks into the pub. That there. None of that steps away when you walk into somewhere. None of that steps away when you... No. That's you. Where you go, that goes. Because that's how God's designed you. And each one of us is called, is chosen, is empowered to do what? Next slide. To form the spiritual house. Scriptural. It's not what I'm saying. This is scriptural. You're not to be on the outer. You're not to be in seclusion. James, you can jump on. You're not in seclusion. You are to be together. To form a spiritual house. To form the temple. To be together. You are the church. We are part of God's spiritual temple. Not standing on the sidelines. Not inactive. I use this analogy quite a lot with one of the young ones. How does, you know, a buffalo is one of the big five in South Africa, you know, Africa. You know, a buffalo, I mean, they hunt you down. I'm not kidding you. That's true. That's true. You know how lions bring a buffalo down? They seclude them. They isolate them from the herd. Because in the herd, they can't do that. Even a calf, a buffalo calf, they cannot get to a buffalo calf if the calf is in the herd. So they chase them. And lions are pretty clever. And then all of a sudden, they start separating. Then you see from a herd of about 50, there's about a herd of 10, and then there's 5, and then there's 1 or 3, and then there's 1. And then they go for that 1, and they bring the 1 down. That is the strategy of the enemy. For you to be secluded, for you to be on the outer. But when you're together, come on. That is a picture of this house. Physically and spiritually. That is a picture of this house. I declare it. That's a picture of God's church. But I declare that's our desire to see that. To see that. I finish with this. Here's your challenge. We always challenge you. I always challenge you. Not here to tickle the ears. We need to have practical steps. Shola said this in the first service. We need practical steps on how to live this out. My question to you is, are you standing on the sidelines? Are you inactive? You've heard scripture. It's not what JJ is saying. This is not for you to get involved because we need people to help out. But that's not my reasoning. My reason is you hear the word of God and you do the word of God. Where are you at? Are you there or are you there? Number one. Number two, how are you reflecting Christ? Because you should. If we can go back to the previous slide, please, Andy, that would be great. You see, you're reflecting. You're radiating. You're walking with Almighty God. You're shining His light. Our lives should be reflecting Christ to the world. So here's my challenge to you. Be alive. Be alive. Because you are alive. Your spirit is alive. You have dunamis power. Be holy, set apart, seeking His will. Be royal, walk with authority. Shift atmospheres. Speak over Victoria. This dark cloud, this dark spiritual cloud, it's got to stop. But it's not going to stop until the church starts shining the light. Until the church starts taking back what the enemy has stolen. Be royal, authority, be priest. Constantly, this is my source. This is my source. Amen? Amen? I hope you're fired. I'm fired up. And I've got to say, the more I delve into this, actually, the more realization I get. I do. The more I'm like, I was saying this to Josh the other day. My gosh, do we really realize how God sees us? That's a good picture. There's some of you here that you need to take a photo of that picture. But you know why? Because you don't believe that's who you are. You don't have to believe me. Go and read the scripture. Believe Him. That's how He sees you. You're not only a son and a daughter. You are royalty. You're a prince and a princess in the kingdom of God. You are royalty. Those kids you have, they are junior princes and princesses. There's no junior Holy Spirit. The same God in me is the same God in them. You and I have the privilege of raising them up to be giants in the faith so that they can form, be part of that spiritual house.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening